At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have Alex from A-Town Reviews. Hello, everyone, Alex.
Hello, everyone.
And with me, I also have Two Blur Girls podcast herself, Tamika. Hello, everybody. She's over there bobbing her head.
Hey, how you doing? I'm
fine. Still vibing off the theme song.
Right? Hey, that's actually a good energy viber. I'm not going to lie. That intro is just amazing, to be honest with you. Well, before we get started with our Peacemaker, talking Peacemaker episodes 1-4, I did have to do a little bit of housekeeping real quick. Matter of fact, we just released our first two Matrix rewatches on YouTube, so go ahead and check that out. I'll be releasing the other two tomorrow, and that'll be wrapping up all the Matrix stuff and things like that. So if you're interested in hearing what Tamika, myself, and Charlie had to say, because I had a lot to say with Resurrections, but that's another story for another day. But anyways, with further ado, let's get into a happier note, shall we, with Peacemaker, because I like to make peace right now, and do episodes 1-4. So the first episode opens up right where the Suicide Squad, left us at, where Chris is laying in bed. He wakes up, and he finds himself in the hospital. And then he's looking around, and he's like, "So I'm free to go?" "Yeah, you're free to go." And he's even asking the janitor. He goes, "Dude, am I free to go?" "Yeah, man, you're free to go." And he's like, "So what do? I don't know. I'm just doing my job." And then he's over there going, "So we're not friends?" "Man, I only smoked half a joint with you. We're not friends."
"We made a connection."
And then, yeah. Right?
Yeah,
and then he goes on ahead. Right. But I like that aspect, though, of the fact that he's been institutionalized for like the last 4 years. So him being in the hospital and him saying, "You can go," it's like, whoa, let me take a step back here. I can actually leave and Amanda Waller don't have shit to say. Mm-hmm. You mean I could do that? So he goes, hurries up, gets his white ties back on and everything, goes into his Peacemaker outfit, goes into the cab, and then he winds up telling the cab driver, "Just drive really fast." But what do you guys think of it continuing off of the Suicide Squad movie and then putting it into the Peacemaker? I thought it was really good.
You want to go first?
Oh, you can go.
Oh, yeah. I liked how it just got right into the show, see it right started. I love that whole opening scene. Any chance to see John Cena naked as much as possible is a plus. I'm not even attracted to men, but just at that point, you have to just appreciate the art that is his body. My God, I need to start working out more. Get that. But I also loved that little banter he got with the janitor. And the janitor is like, "Oh, you're the racist superhero." He's like, "No, I'm not." He's like, fine. I will put more effort into killing more white people. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah, I thought the continuation was really good. You know, just like I said, just picking up where everything left off. I always think that's a good way to continue any show. I guess I'm used to seeing John Cena half naked. Cause like not that I know him or anything. What are you talking about?
Oh, she sees John Cena naked all the time.
That came out.
She's like, "John, send the pics, bro." Come
he just on. Walks around my house half naked. I'm used to it. No, just like big wrestling fan. So like we talked about earlier, like I remember his debut on WWE and he came out in these blue jean shorts. And I was like, what the hell is this? Another Eminem knockoff? So I guess I'm just used to him naked from here up, but seeing his butt cheeks from the hospital gown, that was a plus, I guess. Guy works out. I don't know what to say.
Yep. He definitely feeds his anaconda. That's all I got to say. But that was fake.
That part was fake when we get to that scene. I've seen him.
But, you know, I thought it opened up very well. Not the gown, but the way the episode opened up. Because I like how he goes and here's another thing though that I thought that was funny though. He goes and sees his dad. And of course his dad's like this hard ass. He's of course T-1000 from Terminator 2. And also played on the Sopranos. But he's also a racist. He's also the opposite of what John Cena is. In a sense, because John Cena tries to accept people for who they are. His father, on the other hand, is a total 360 and everything, too, especially when he goes, hey, Dad, can I go ahead and have the helmet? What did you make? And so he winds up giving him the helmet and stuff like that. But also, too, I like how he ends up telling him, hey, look, I was on this other special ops team, and we had this one person named Ratcatcher, and Ratcatcher can go ahead and manipulate rats. And then we have this other guy who was afraid of rats, which was Idris Elba. And he goes, please tell me that he wasn't the one that shot you. He goes, he was the one that shot me. And, but I like the banter between the two of them as father and son. I thought it actually works. I thought the dynamic was very well done.
Yeah, I forgot that actor's name, but he seems to be typecast as the horrible father figure. Because he was in Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix playing his dad, but he was an alcoholic, abusive dad. So I'm gonna need him to like move out of this abusive father role.
Well, he was also a degenerate gambler off of the Sopranos, though, too.
Oh, jeez!
Remember, Tony ends up
as a psychopath Terminator, then an abusive father,
and a degenerate.
Yeah. Does he have kids in real life?
I hope.
If he does, I hope he's actually. I'm pretty sure he's actually a really good father if he does have kids. But you imagine, his kids watching the movie, any of these shows, and he's just like, "Yeah, that's what our childhood was like." What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm so jealous of those kids. Why can't you act more like that?
Right, and then I always do this to her.
Right.
I always do this to her. I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, let's just move on here. Okay. But
falling into traps.
But the scene in the trailer, though, was. Oh, go on ahead, Alex.
I was just also gonna say I like the dynamic. Also, the dynamic they set up between Peacemaker and his dad, because it just shows where Peacemaker comes from. So you get more of an understanding like why he's such a jerk at first. You're like, oh, why? But like, and you really like when they're communicating, you can see that he just wants his father's love, and he's like trying to do anything he can within his own created boundaries that he has, what little boundaries he has to appease him. And he's just, you see more of Peacemaker in those scenes when he's talking to his dad. Like he's just a vulnerable, innocent little boy at those moments. You really see him weaken and vulnerable. And I like those scenes. It shows how deep he is as a character. He's not just this buff, dumb, jock, violent guy. Yeah. There's more to him than that.
Right. And I like the layers that John Cena brings the character. He has a very charismatic way of caring about him. Whenever he's alone by himself, that's whenever he's true self. And then whenever he's with everybody, he has to put on a show acting like he's this big tough guy and everything. And a total douchebag and everything, too, especially in the restaurant scene and stuff, which we'll get to a little later. But, you know, I just really like how John Cena brings out Peacemaker. Because at first I'm like, I don't know. I'm not really a big John Cena fan when it comes down to his acting style and stuff like that. It's just not for me. But with Peacemaker, he found a way for me to like him as an actor playing this role. To me, he is Peacemaker. He is he's dedicated to the role. He is Peacemaker. He is Chris. So that is something that I really did appreciate, the fact that John Cena managed to do this role perfectly. If you actually look at it like this, Marvel turned him down and everything for different roles. Yeah. Huh. And nobody wanted to really work with him with any type of comic book properties. And then DC and James Gunn brought him in and everything. And now look at him. He's pretty much proving Marvel wrong and Disney wrong on so many levels of what he can bring. But yeah, he got turned down. I forgot what parts or whatever. But yeah, he did get turned down from Marvel. Was he
like blacklisted or something? Or
they just didn't think he was a good fit at the time, I think. I don't think that they were looking for someone on that caliber of what John Cena is. And also, too, at that time, probably, too, John Cena probably needed to work on a little bit more of his acting skills. Because I'll even own up to this. I even said that I didn't like his performance in F9. But with this one, I'm sold on. I'm always... Here's the thing. I always try to give an actor a chance, regardless of the fact that I don't think that they're the strongest actors. Like, I saw him in Trainwreck. I didn't really find him in Trainwreck. I thought that he was forcing to be funny. And then even in C-Blockers as well, and Blockers, I didn't think he was that funny. This one, he found a way to make me laugh. And comedy is the most objective thing and hardest thing that you can pretty much make, because everybody's humor is different. With this one, James Gunn captured the magic of Peacemaker. He knows what the character is called for, and John Cena does a fantastic job. And, you know, I also like whenever he goes home into the trailer and then he thinks that he got away with it, with everything. He's like, yes, I finally... It's kind of like in high school when you have this one teacher that's followed you from grade school all the way to high school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, I finally got rid of Amanda Waller. I'm finally free. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. You have one girl that's in the back. Then you also have Hardcore coming in. Then you also have the other guy coming in and everything too into his house. And it's like, shit, I didn't get away with nothing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how did you track me? You still have the tracker in your head that Amanda Waller put in there. Hmm. So now it's like, well, damn. Hmm. But I like how they try bringing him up to date on Project Butterfly and not knowing. And they're keeping a lot of secrets from him. But this is actually the worst crew to have for a secret mission for Black Ops. You know? But go ahead. Tell me what you guys think of that scene and stuff.
Well, I think it's going back to what you say about John Cena. Dave Bautista's acting skills aren't the best, and they put him in a Marvel film, so I feel like that was a bit personal shot. I don't know what John Cena did to Marvel, but they chose Dave Bautista, and he's still working on his acting skills, but he can play Drax. That's all I gotta say about that. I'm not like a huge John Cena fan, but I just want to be fair. But yeah, going back to the trailer scene, didn't his dad have his pet eagle?
Yep, he did.
His name Eagly. And then I thought that was a very unexpected. And I was like, oh,
he's hugging me, dad. Look, get my phone.
I'm like, what is going on? Okay. All right, James Gunn, I should know. But yeah, the trailer scene was it was very odd to have people up in your home like that. And I think the only person that may be qualified for a mission like that was probably Hardcore, or I think his name is Murr.
Murr, who can't feel nothing, that has never felt shared a feeling in his life.
Wait, is he in the comics, or is
this
the character they made up?
To be honest with you, I don't know anything about Peacemaker, any of the comics. I'm going in this blindsided and everything as far as this goes. I just know about the New 52 Suicide Squad. I know the original Suicide Squad and stuff like that. Anything outside of that realm, I'm blinded to.
Okay.
So I'm just going in, enjoying it, being nerdy and sweaty with everybody else.
No. You cannot.
Hey, it's been a while, man. It's been a while. Yeah. I haven't used the word sweaty in 3 years.
Yeah, you should be proud of me, Tamika. I don't know why you're trying to slip it through now while we got coffee.
But anyways.
I'm talking to you. Go ahead, A-Town.
I wanted to add on to the John Cena thing. And I think, I feel like professional wrestlers, when they, at least the few that have, when they transition into acting, they have a tendency to be better at improv,
yeah.
Which I feel is where John Cena really excels in the comedy here. It seems like a lot of it is just him saying whatever he wants at the moment that goes with the script. And wrestlers are usually good with that. And they're also really good at getting feelings from you. So I've always noticed this from The Rock, from Batista, John Cena. You always feel something for their characters, either one way or another, because that comes natural to them. And, you know, it takes a few movies for them to really refine their craft. Like The Rock has gotten much better at acting since The Scorpion King or something, which honestly, I loved that movie as a kid too. And same thing with John, you know, Batista, you know, not the best actor, but he gets in a role that he does well, like Drax the Destroyer in the Marvel movies, does that for a few years, and then he starts branching out. Like, I thought he did really good in Army of the Dead.
Like, yeah.
You know, he's starting to figure it out. And that's what I feel like John Cena is on, that same trajectory. He just needed to find that perfect role that, you know, he can really grow in. And this, as Peacemaker, he has that opportunity. So I think he's just going to go on the up and up.
Yeah,
I think so too.
I think in Trainwreck, maybe that opened the door to him being this goofy, hypersexual guy. The scene in Trainwreck, I remember even before I saw the movie, that they were talking about it on the Today Show. Like, it's this particular scene he did. It was kind of crazy, which you should go watch Trainwreck to figure out what I'm talking about. But yeah, so I don't know. Like you said, A-Town, he just had to find his footing for whatever role he was in.
But, you know, another thing that I like about Batista, though, is in an interview he did, he goes, "I'm not the strongest actor. I get a script that is for me, that I know that I can do and do the best I can do to my ability." And that's what he did. And then, as you see, like you said, with the Army of the Dead, Alex, he did a fantastic job transitioning out of that whole entire deal with just having like one-liner and stuff like that. He's able to carry himself a little bit more and things like that. So even with John Cena now, I'm giving him a lot more of a chance than I have been in a long time. But, you know, another thing too is there's actually a lot of scenes in this thing. We're going to be jumping around a lot with this. We're not going to go scene for scene or anything, because this is just a comedy to me. This is just straight up comedy action and stuff like that. But I love the banters with the other cast members whenever it comes down to the agents, the ops, and things like that. I thought that was fun. John being the IT guy. Then you also have this other girl who's just trying to fit in and figure out who she is as a team member, because she doesn't really fit in with them. Also, too, that's also Amanda Waller's daughter, but they don't know that, because then they're going to turn a bad look on, bad eye to her and everything. And then also, too, you also have Wes, like you said, right? That's the guy's name? The one that can't feel anything?
Murr.
Murr. Okay. That's an easy name to remember, because Murr. That's in Practical Jokers.
I think it's Murr. Pretty sure it's Murr. Murr. Someone will let us know in the comments.
But I like Murr. Though, to be honest with you, as a character, I thought he was actually pretty funny. He's like, to me, if they actually put side to side with Amanda Waller and him, they would look like brother and sister, basically. They both look like they have that pissed off look. But, you know, the comedy aspect that he brings is just great. But is there anything else that you want to say as far as the Black Ops people and things like that, too? Because I thought they actually brought their A game whenever it comes down to this, even though they're horrible at what they do. But that's the whole joke of it all, they're supposed to be this big, huge Black Ops crew, and they're just as horrible as the people that they try to send in at the beach at the very beginning of the Suicide Squad movie and everything. And also, too, this is like James Gunn unhinged. This is James Gunn doing his James Gunn thing. Mm-hmm. I call it James Gunn isms, but you know, but this is actually what he does. Gunn. Yeah. But
I actually really like Murr also. In the most recent episode, what really like solidified it for me is where he's just like so pissed off because everyone's messing up, and he's like yelling at everyone, and they're just like, "Well, you don't need to yell at." He just gets this look of just pure disgust on his face.
Especially when John makes up that whole entire deal with the father, with John Cena's father, with the fingerprints and everything. And then John Cena finds out his father's in prison. And then you see Murr, he's like,
yeah, yeah.
Is he talking to me about this? He is talking to me. Probably.
Oh man.
But yeah, I thought that was funny. Then of course, you know, you also Luke. Hey Luke, how you been doing, man? We need to do another show together soon.
Hey Luke.
Luke.
But yeah, I thought that the comedy aspect with that scene about how stupid John was for switching up the fingerprints for his dad, for John Cena, for Peacemaker's dad was actually pretty funny. And then also, too, let's talk about this other thing, though, too, that I liked in the first episode, too, as well, was when they're inside Applebee's, John Cena has the file and he's opening it. He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "You're not supposed to open that in here. That's the top secret thing." "Oh, I didn't know." And then he goes, "Hey, sugar ass or something." I forgot what he ends up calling. Sweet cheeks.
Sweet cheeks.
Sweet cheeks.
Oh, they're sweet cheeks.
Hey, sweet cheeks, come over here. And at that point, I thought automatically that was his dad talking. It was no longer. He goes, "You know, you can't say that." "Why not?" "Because it's rude." "It is?" Yeah. I thought it was a compliment.
Yeah. No, she has very rosy cheeks. They look adorable. No, he's talking about her ass. What? That's disgusting. Oh my God. Rude. Inappropriate.
And then he's also wearing his Peacemaker outfit.
Yeah, the helmet and everything at Applebee's.
It's a uniform.
Oh,
it's a uniform. But that right there, like that's another part of his character that I like, because he's so innocent. He's like, once again, he's like a little boy, because like, oh, sweet cheeks. Her cheeks, obviously. Rosy cheeks is. It was like where his mind took it. It's kind of adorable. You kind of think, oh, you're so cute, but you're stupid too.
Yeah. Very cool.
And you can just see how like already how he was brought up is already like conflicting with what he truly wants out of life and with the world around him. And he's just, so it's like, I'm enjoying this journey of him just figuring things out.
That was deep.
Yeah.
Dang, that's like Oprah.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was just like, wow, dang, the show is
good. You did good.
I can't swim. This is too deep.
Yeah, you did good. Dang, I felt that.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it though, Alex, it's like, okay, my dad probably winded up telling me, "Hey, sweet cheeks is a compliment that you tell somebody." It's like a 10-year-old him. "What does that mean, Dad?" "Oh, that's a compliment. It's about her cheeks." "Oh, okay. Hey, sweet cheeks, come here." So yeah. he doesn't realize what he's saying until like later on. He goes, I didn't know that was actually meant as a derogatory sentence or anything like that. I'm so sorry." And then, you know, he's thinking that he has a chance with Hardcore because of the fact that he winds up seeing her later on, and he just happens to see her going to this bar, and he's like, "Eh." So she said no. He goes over to this other woman that looks like that she's in the 80s with the hair and everything, with this hair metal band. I'm like, what the heck is going on with this? And so he winds up banging her.
Freedom!
Yeah, freedom! My sweet Christmas!
But that actually made me laugh. Sorry. I do it to you every time. Every time.
Well, anyway.
Got it, John. But you know what, though, that I appreciated with the show, though, when it comes down to him, banging the girl, though? It's well, I appreciate it. Him banging the girl out of her. Freedom. Okay, this is what I appreciate with the character, with her character, though. Usually, whenever you see this sex scene and everything, it's just a one-time deal where basically they move on to the next scene and that's it. He was just like cut and dry and that's it. With this one, they ended up extending the scene long enough, to where, you know, he's over there in his lady tighties, he's singing to her vibrator and everything, and then next thing you know it, and then next thing you know it, she just has this look like she's going to go in ahead and kill the hell out of him. But I like the fact that they winded up giving more for her to do rather than her just being a piece of ass that he got and that was it. You know? Because it could have been just like that. So they gave her more stuff to do rather than her just becoming a side piece.
Yeah.
So even though she wanted to kill him, but...
Yeah, well, can we talk about John Cena's sick dance moves?
Yeah, we can.
Those are awesome. I can already see, like, comic conventions across the world are going to be Peacemaker, and they're going to do some dance sequence. We didn't even talk about the intro.
Yeah, the intro is just great.
They're going to do that dance at all the Comic-Cons and everything.
I remember just starting the show on episode one. I'm like, all right, let's see how Peacemaker is. And then just him coming up. I'm like, oh my God. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen this year.
Yeah. So far. Yeah. And the guy on his shoulders. I was like, who that guy is? Okay.
And then it's like, I didn't even know I needed this show until I saw this show. That's how I was.
Yeah,
I said, I didn't even know that I needed John Cena as Peacemaker in my life until I saw that intro. Because that's what made me, I'm like, yep, this is James Gunn. This is his world.
Yeah.
This is all I want out of life right now.
Yeah.
John Cena, whitey tighties, and saying freedom while he's banging a woman. But you know what else?
It took me a few seconds to realize he was singing into a vibrator.
Yeah.
I was just like,
Dommy.
That's random that she have a microphone in her house. and then
my brain's like,
oh, Alex, it's not a microphone. I'm like, a vibrator. Yeah.
But you know what, though? It is conveniently just laid there on the counter.
Yeah, I was just like, it's by the record player. It's obviously a microphone. That's where my innocent brain took me.
We should clue you in that women don't just leave their vibrators in the open.
No.
I mean, we should have been clued in. Like, I'm not right here.
I don't.
But you know what, though?
Is that a good place to leave vibrators?
No, right, it's not.
No.
They're hidden.
Especially something that big.
In Sex and the City, that's how I knew that was a vibrator. My innocent little self. But, a vibrator up here. I go, oh, well. Not a neck massager.
No, like, definitely not.
Neck massager.
Oh, that feels good right there.
they sell it as one on Amazon.
If it works, it works.
Yeah. Cool.
But you know what else America needs, though, right now, Tamika and Alex?
Oh, yeah. No, what?
Vibrating.
They need a manscape.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they need a manscape. Because here's the 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Our sponsors at Manscaped are to save your balls and John Cena's balls at the same time. So that way, when he's screaming into America's way of life, he can make this year and make the ball drop into 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first year's resolution and good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com and insert Movie Loves Unite for 20% off and plus free shipping. And, you know, I could just imagine John Cena just shaving with the wrong tools all his life and everything, especially with the innocence that he has as Peacemaker. He just thought, you know, I need something in my life, something that I know that's not going to hurt me, because I spent many years because of my schlong being so big and everything, and I'm just going to be in the emergency room again. So you know what? It's a new year. It's a new him. With the global leaders and below-the-waist grooming this year, take your package to the next level with their Package 4.0 and brand-new ultra-premium body wash. I use the body wash, to be honest with you, and it's actually fantastic. I don't even want to leave the shower. That's how good it is. But inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. The electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4,000 LED spotlight that will shine the light to the promised land all the way into 2022. And it looks to be a grooming routine isn't complete without applying crop preserver and crop reviver before showing off your 2022 self. Those unique formulations take care of the smelly part of your body and a big boost to your confidence into the new year. And I'm just going to say, I love my Manscaped. Manscaped is just fantastic. I also like the. That's also another thing that is really great 2022 as well. But, you know, another thing too is to complete the set, Manscaped, they threw in a shed travel bag and anti-shaving shafting boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. And the new product that needs no introduction, the Ultra Premium Body Wash from Manscaped, solves all three of the perfect additions to your daily grooming routine. But in the shower, I shower every day, like I said, and hope you do too. The body wash smells great too, and it's cologne infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling nice and moisturized. Kick discomfort and poor hygiene to the curb this year and use the best tools for the job. Whether your resolution is to work out more or travel to new places, be sure to travel to manscaped.com for your exclusive offer for 20% off plus free shipping with Movie Loves You Night. And that's Movie Loves You Night with your free shipping and handling. So, like I said, that's 20% off, and let's get back into the show.
Cool. I feel like Peacemaker would like Manscaped.
He definitely would. Mm-hmm. He would definitely be singing with it. Better than a vibrator.
Yeah, you know. Totally. Yeah, yeah, freedom.
But let's talk about Vigilante, the other, which is like Deadpool in the DC universe.
It is like Deadpool.
He sounded like for a split second, I was like, "Is that Ryan Reynolds?" Just for a split second, when he's in the costume of it. I'm loving Vigilante. He's a ride or die homie. He's great. I think he is hilarious. Like that introduction where he's just outside Peacemaker's window, like, dude, are you jacking off right now? Are you watching me?
Yeah. It's like, dude, why would I do that? He goes, just look. I'm not looking, because if I look, you're gonna show me your crotch, and if you show me your crotch, you're gonna get jizz all over my face. Goes, dude. Telling you, just look. I don't have my dick out, for crying out loud. Look at my crotch. Look. Look how shaved and preserved it is because the Lawnmower 3.0. Just look at it.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I loved his character. I also like it when Hardcore is like, go back home. You can't see me. Yes, I can. I can't see you. You're right behind the dumpster. Mm-hmm. He goes, you can't. You can't see me.
Yeah,
John Cena reference,
right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
but also to the girl in the apartment though attacking John Cena as well, and then her, then you know, I thought he was going to throw her off the window because that's what I would have done. Mm-hmm.
I would have too, but apparently that wouldn't have worked. that scene legit terrified me. Like I knew she was going to attack him. I was like, okay. This is going to be one of those things where they have sex and then she's going to try to kill him. I thought she was just going to be like just a normal person, but more skilled. But mm-hmm. then when she started doing all the noises,
yeah.
I was like, oh dear God, she's doing all this.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
No. Like you said, I thought she was just going to be like a spy or something. They came to take him out. And I was like, oh, it's like James Bond when all these women try to kill mm-hmm. him. But yeah, when she started making that noise, like a raptor or some dinosaur or something, I was like, oh shit, something's going on.
and he kept getting sick.
And then all the hits she took, I was like, that's not normal. This ain't normal.
No. Well, as soon as she wound up acting like the Grudge, I'm like, okay, this is a whole different level of... Mm-hmm. of anything that I've seen. And then of course she's over there, they're body slamming each other, she's getting the knife out, slicing and dicing him, and then of course she winds up throwing him through the wall. I'm like, ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
And then it's like she's learned some of John Cena's wrestling moves, and then next thing you know, John Cena just decides to go in and hop out the window instead of throwing her out the window, and then next thing you know, it looks like a scene from Terminator.
Yes. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Terminator 2. One or two. Not three.
The others don't exist.
All right. Dark Fate was pretty good. But anyway, back to the show.
As we all know, let's make this clear.
Yeah, let's make this clear now. But yeah, that was crazy. I don't know. I mean, it could be chalked up to maybe she just got some wrong heroin or, you know, bad.
The right heroin.
Bad to grow up, you know, PCP made you jump out the window.
Him jumping out the window, though, that was probably the most realistic thing of the show. Because if someone was attacking me like that, I'm like, well, I'm going out the window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At least that will be a less painful death, hopefully, if I land right.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing him running half naked, just in his tidy whities through the parking lot.
He was half naked fighting.
And also crawling all the way to his car just to get the helmet that he has. And then he winds up just obliterating her.
That was crazy.
That was awesome.
I was like, okay, she's going to get knocked away and break her neck. No, she was everywhere.
Yeah. Magneto'd her. That was awesome.
That was like, yummy.
And then I never saw a show where she shows the carnage after someone explodes or anything like that. And this one actually goes into the detail. It shows where her underwear is. It shows where her face is, her hand is. I'm like, and then all of a sudden, I thought it was her scalp that falls down from the sky, but no, it was just a random possum that Eagle winds up bringing.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you okay? Here goes this dead possum that I got for you.
Just like, here you go, Daddy. Here's a possum. I'm like, oh, okay.
Eagle-y. I know you probably didn't eat at Applebee's or anything, so here's a possum.
Yeah,
I love Eagle-y so much.
Me too.
So awesome. So I want an Eagle.
What's your name? What did you name your dog? Doggy.
Yeah. Aww. I hope they have the Eagle-y stuffed animals.
That would be sweet.
I want one. Totally.
They probably do already. I'm looking them up right now. I want to buy.
They need to market that. Seriously. Yeah, they need to get up on that.
Please.
I know this is not Disney, but they need them going ahead and marking that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but going back to what you said, John, I don't know why I was surprised, because I did see Suicide Squad. Well, I saw the horrible one. But, I mean, the James Gunn Suicide Squad, and he showed everything. It was really gruesome in that. So I'm not sure why I was so surprised or taken back by this. I guess it's just the unexpected. I don't know. It just really, wow.
You're expecting like the normal amount of bloody violence, like people getting shot in the head, maybe an arm cut off. You're like, cool. But a person being completely blown up and you get to look at their face, a piece of their face, and like, that's next level.
Yeah, this is, like I said, it's like they gave James Gunn some money and let him have creative control over the script and also over everything. And here's some money. Have fun. And make her TV show. That's what
Which
it looked
is what
like.
They
to me.
Should let directors and producers do that more often, and then just, you know, like, see if it works out. Like, DC has not much to lose. Like, their whole cinematic universe is in shambles. So, like,
hey, Brian.
Hey, baby.
Hey, Brian.
But you know, I really feel like. Yes, exactly. Yeah. No. You're good. But, you know, I feel like they do need to let their directors do their job. It's like hiring a painter and then you tell them that you want the job done a certain way. And then, like, you know what? I'm going to do the job myself because I don't trust my painter that I've trusted him to paint my house. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm going to go on ahead because I think I know it all. So I'm going to go on ahead and have creative control over what he does. No, you hired him to do a specific job. Let him do his job the way he needs to do his job. And this is what they did with James Gunn. They gave him the keys and he's just going full throttle all the way through it. Now, I know that the first four episodes were actually directed and written by him. Now, the next episode is not directed by him, but it's actually wrote by him for the episode five.
Well, that's going to be an interesting take.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be really different. But I think that also, too, it's going to have that same tone because of the fact that James Gunn has that same script. So that's also a positive. At least he still has control over that, over the writing and stuff. So, but just different directors, which I'm okay with having different directors, the way they don't have to feel like they're, you know, chained up to this whole entire thing, and they can let everybody else have their own creativeness over the episodes. Right. So I'm fine with that.
They did that but, in the Mandalorian. They had a different director for each episode. It was really awesome.
Yeah. And... But I know that you didn't like one of the characters of Tamika, and
why I was just out like this, John.
But well, yes, I wanted you to get your voice out there, yes, and I know that you have negatives. Everything's not all packed.
Amanda Waller's daughter, the actress that plays her, she is from Orange Is the New Black. I think she played Tasty. But yeah, she's from there. She's a great actress, but I personally don't think so far that she's good for this series. Like, it seems like she brings so much seriousness to the role that, and everybody else, they can balance it out. Like, they can be serious, but they can be all the way goofy. So it seems like she's just trying too hard to kind of be goofy or be wacky. I don't know. That's just how I feel personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of agree to an extent. It feels like they don't, like, they have a story for her, like with her being Waller's daughter and all that. But at least in these episodes, they haven't really done much with it. You don't know where they're taking that. It's just like, oh, she's just going to be the only one in the group that's actually nice to Peacemaker. And like, I guess right now that's her thing. And so she's just, you know, I like her. I like her character. It's just I want her to do more.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, she's trying, like right now she's just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
With the group. And you know, I was like, have her do something, you know, stands out a bit more.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if it's the actress or what, because I get her role, right? Just trying to fit in. But it seems like she's hesitant in her acting to me. I don't know why. It feels like everybody else is kind of on top of their game. Like even Murr, and he's a straight guy. But it just seems like she's like holding something back. I don't know. I need her to bring it out. Like I need to be her acting coach. Like just bring it out. Give me the drama. Give me the flair. Yeah. Come on. Get it out. That's all I have.
But yeah, I definitely agree with the both of y'all, though, to be honest with you. Yeah, like, when it comes to. Well, hold on. No. Because here's the thing, there's stuff that I like that she says.
Yeah.
But the motivations of the stuff that they make her do is another thing. The limitations that they have on her right now. It's like they're restraining her and holding her back a little bit to reveal something. Because don't forget, Amanda Waller did give her Peacemaker's diary, supposed diary, to plant into his trailer. So I think that's going to be played out at the very end. He's going to go back to prison and she's going to frame him. Or she's not going to do it and somebody else is going to do it. So that's one of the other two things. And then next thing you know, she might get kicked off the task force as well. So that's another prediction I have on the direction that she can go on. Because it's just out of character for her to plant that evidence on her, unless they actually have something on her herself. and everything too, other than being Amanda Waller's daughter. But yeah. The thing that I like is the charismatic stuff that she says to Peacemaker, especially when you're dealing with a father that's racist. And it doesn't matter who your parents are. That's who they are. You're going to love them whether they're racist or not racist or anything like that. And I'm not going to love my here's the thing. I'm basically putting myself in the character of Peacemaker. In the character of Peacemaker.
I love you, playing wizard father.
Right. But no, I'm trying to just put myself in the place of Peacemaker. That's all he knew all his life, is this man that he looked up to and wanting to get the love that he wants from him, even though that's not the love that he needs or wants or needs to have in his life. So she's actually the voice of reason. Whenever we have Vigilante driving him over to the police station to visit his father, just what are you doing? And that's also could actually throw him back in jail as well. So he's risking everything to go back to jail again to see his father. Now that's love right there. But I like how she winds up saying this to him. Why are you doing this? Your dad's a racist. He mistreated you. He goes, how do you know? You don't know nothing about me. It's in your file, Chris. It's in your file. Mm-hmm. I know everything about you. All the mental abuse that you took. I know everything that he's done to you. This is not a man that you need to have in your life, whether you think that you do or don't. You need to be surrounded by people that actually care about you, but that's hard to do, especially when you're on a black ops thing and nobody really cares about you other than doing Operation Butterfly, which is what they're actually basically hiding everything from Chris, even though he has the file and he's not reading it or anything like that. But, you know, they're still withholding information from him, and it's not to the point where he can trust them to be that, have that friendship with them because of the fact that they're lying to him. You know?
No, I guess a positive thing. when she was talking to Vigilante on the park bench or whatever they were at, she did break down, like, you know, Peacemaker, his real name is Chris in the show. You know, he just has this hole inside him. And the reason why he keeps going to his dad is because he's seeking that approval and love from his dad, you know. But yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, because I've been watching Doom Patrol and Peacemaker, so it's all kind of running together for me. But it kind of reminds me of Cyborg, how he wants approval from his dad, but he was just taught to be a good soldier. You know, he didn't really have a childhood. So I can kind of piece together Peacemaker and Cyborg in a sense. Like, they're both trying to get approval from their fathers, but they're also trying to be good soldiers like they were taught to be. Yeah. Boom, Oprah.
Hit him with the Oprah.
Oh, big O.
It's painful to watch because it, like with Peacemaker, it's kind of like classic behavior of someone who's been abused their whole life. And, you know, it's a person, like the abuser is this person that's supposed to love you. So to him, he can't tell the difference between love and abuse. He thinks that his dad loves him. And, you know, that's my dad. He loves me. He's doing this. He's doing these things for me, to me, because he loves me. And that's just the twisted mentality that his father instilled upon him. And that's where the show, I think they did it more in episode 4, where the show gets really deep into that. And you can like see the pain of that Peacemaker has. And John Cena portrays that like really well, because he's like so confused. He's in constant battle with himself. And it was just like, I was like, oh, we're not in the comedy era right now anymore. We're getting into the deep drama. Like, this is sad. He has a lot to go through, and hopefully he gets over it. Hopefully he punches his dad in the face, but I feel like this is going to be an issue he deals with for a while.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, I'm hoping that he does wind up saying, you know what, dad, you're not the best dad for me. I'm just gonna go my way, you go your way, we don't meet in between. because think of it like this. You go through a mental breakup or whatever, you know what I'm saying, with a bad person, that you know the person's bad for you and stuff like that, right? So you go back to the place that you're most comfortable with because that's all you know. And that's all he knows. That's all John Cena knows, or Chris knows, Peacemaker knows, is that dad is his dad. That's all he knows. And that's the place that he feels the most comfortable at because he doesn't know anybody else. So he goes to the place that he feels like he's safe at, even though it's bad for him. That's the way I'm looking at it, though, too. Mm. And, you know, like Alex said, this is a deep cut episode at the very end. Yeah, we're laughing. And then once he gets into the whole entire aspect of him singing, and also, too, you see his childhood. You mm-hmm. see flashbacks of that. And then you just care about him so much on a deeper level to the point where I almost cried man tears and everything. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. When a certain character died on screen, I cried man tears for that character because I had that emotional attachment to that
one character. Real men cry. But, real men cry.
Right. Yep, we do. But, you know... Don't mean to do that.
I cry a little too much, if I can be honest.
Yeah, we do.
This episode had me shedding a tear. I was like, no, like especially when they were showing the flashbacks of his childhood, and it was like I knew this happened, but like to see, like when he's singing the song, you can see the hurt, even though he's in his real tight. Too tight shirt mm-hmm. and all that. It still has like that comedy surface level, but like, you know, you can see the pain, and I was feeling for him. I teared up. I was like, oh no, my boy's
same
hurt.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense too. I wasn't crying. I had something, but
I'm not crying.
You're crying. I got something in my eye. That's all.
Allergy season. When you look at episode 4, because his dad trained him to be a killer, basically. But when you look at episode 4, episode 2 or 3, where he had to kill the family.
Yeah, that was episode.
That was 3.
What was that?
That was 3. It's called Better Golf Dead.
Yeah, it made sense why he hesitated, because he was like, even the children too. Like, I guess he was just thinking, like, man, I gotta kill these kids, and I don't know, for some reason he's like, oh, I gotta kill these kids, and you want me to kill his family, and then you look at his childhood and what he went through, like it was a trigger for him. But yes, also, like you said, they balance in the comedy, because he was like, oh, they don't have my eagle symbol on the gun. And then he drew an upside down second grader doodle of an eagle. And he's like, yeah, now I can kill people.
There, I got it. I'm done. I got my pet on the gun. I'm ready to go. Let's kill some people.
He's like, what? He's like, it doesn't have my symbol on this gun. I'm supposed to kill people.
But you know what, though? He also said, you know what? I'm okay with killing people. I'm okay with killing kids.
Yeah.
But I don't want to kill them if they're innocent.
Yeah, right. They look innocent. Because once I saw that, I was like, what the hell? Are they flies or what is this?
Yeah, that freaked me out. You want to know what I thought that Operation Butterfly was?
A vagina?
Yep.
Like and, Peacemaker?
Yep. I really thought, and as a matter of fact, Peacemaker even brings it up. He goes, what is it, a vagina? And then I also like, too, when he was freaking out about him sleeping with that girl that was psycho and everything. Am I going to get, and everything, too? Did I get an STD or anything like that? I thought that was actually funny.
Am I going to turn into a dick vampire?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I want to go on ahead and talk about, because we talked about everything else, but we didn't get a chance to talk about Operation Butterfly that much when it came down to him shooting them. And then all of a sudden you see Vigilante goes, I got this, move aside. Just guns everybody down, all except the father. And then also, too, you're in the truck, they also have a debate going on about with the storybook of the Bear family and everything, too.
Berenstain
family, which I used to read back when I was a kid.
Oh man, I love that show.
I love those books when I was in lower elementary.
And I didn't know that. Like, have you ever noticed these films, they start to drop these, this, I don't want to say knowledge, but it's like facts about, oh, you know, it was named after the creator. I said, really? Oh my God. I didn't know I can learn that from Peacemaker.
I thought I could learn that from the Raining Rainbow.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, the second episode, sorry, I don't know if I can cuss. It messed me up. Oh, okay. Well, I already said it messed me up, so I can't go back. Then I
well, the way I see it is this. We're talking, we already said dick, we already said manscaped, we already said banging. We covered all the basics here at Movie Lovers Tonight.
But the second episode really messed me up when the girl was talking about, what was that, Peacemaker kidnapped the couple, right? Yeah. And then the guy was talking about, gosh, that song, Pumped Up Kicks. And I forgot the name of the band. And she was making fun of him. She was like, oh, you like a song about a mass murderer who shoots schools up. And I was like, wait, what? That's what that song's about? Did you not actually went and looked at the lyrics? I was like, oh, crap, I was singing that. Oh, my God. That's a horrible
song. It sounds so happy.
Kids with some great shoes. No, it's about kids running from a school shooter.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I was thinking to myself, I need to download this song. And then now I'm like, never mind. I don't need to download it.
I don't like this song anymore.
No. They were playing it in Starbucks. Target. I was like, oh, it's my phone. I'm all together.
As soon as I hear that song playing in a public setting, I'm getting the hell out of there.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a hardcore Target.
don't want anyone getting any ideas. Let me get out of here.
Man, right. In the Gap, Old Navy, everywhere I go, I'm like, it's a good song.
But what did you think of the other thing, though, too, whenever John Cena finally shoots the guy in the head and then this butterfly comes out, goes, oh, Operation Butterfly. And then next thing you know it, he says that he shot the butterfly and everything, but he doesn't. He winds up keeping it. We see it inside the glass at the very end of the episode and everything. He has it in the glass, and as he's crying, Eagle is coming in over on his left, and then on his right, you see the glass jar of the butterfly.
Are you okay, bro?
He's like, you all right? You all right, buddy?
Well, first he was smoking pot. Peacemaker, and then the butterflies. He's like, bro, you okay? He didn't talk, but you know, they both want to know if you're okay.
That's how I would say it. But my friends around me go, bro, are you okay? Like, whoa, I'm in this glass jar, man. Yeah. And I'm just trying to roll over here and see what's up.
Aren't we all?
All right. Well, I'm gonna roll right back over here. Mm-hmm. You need me? Roll another fatty. That's actually how my friend Stormy talks, but yeah.
can we go back to the miniature size bodyguard?
Yeah, let's talk about him.
Judo master.
Judo master.
Yeah, I was, and when I saw him, and he's like walking, and I was like, oh my God, what kind of wrestler is that?
It's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he did look like Rey Mysterio. And then he's like kicking all their asses. I was like, darn Vigilante. Like, I'm sorry. I'll go.
Fuck, my bad. I loved it.
Yeah.
I like that Judo Master is always eating.
Yeah,
the bag of chips.
Even when he gets out and he escapes, and then of course John Cena's, of course, you know, Peacemaker's looking for him. All of a sudden, in the wind, you see a bag of chips just roll down the street.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, give me some.
When they kidnap Peacemaker, yeah, that's the scene when they kidnap Peacemaker, and he was across from him. And usually, when you have that banter where the bad guy is talking shit, to the guy tied up. It's like, no, this dude eating flaming hot Cheetos right in front of you. It's like, what you eating? Cheetos. Want some? Yeah. Throw it to your face. I'm like, okay. I was like, what is going on? I could not.
And then he's torturing the guy that's tied up to get to Peacemaker. He's the alpha. And Peacemaker just doesn't care about this guy. He only met him for a day or two.
Like, don't worry, I'm not going to give him nothing. Yeah. I need my pinky toe. Cut off his pinky toe.
Yeah.
Now, why won't this shit cut?
But you know what, though? I started thinking to myself, is that even true? And then I'm like, and then I'm questioning it. And I'm like, well, my preacher said that you needed your big toe to keep your balance, so that can't be right. I'm like, is this true?
See?
And I'm, yeah. I'm like, no, nah, this is not.
All over again. Learned about the song, embarrassing bars, when you walk without a pinky toe. See, they be dropping these little facts.
You're totally off balance. Show.
And then right. You'd be like, oh, I learned something, but then I don't know how to feel.
But yeah, I think you know what, though? People can learn a lot from our show, too. We covered everything. We covered the birds and bees. We covered some manscaping. We covered it all.
Yeah.
Broad show.
We have
freedom.
Freedom.
Thank you, James Gunn.
Yeah. Thanks, James Gunn. Tip mine. See, this is what happens when he don't have limits. You know, like, I thought that Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of wacky, right? And I was like, oh, it's a little quirky. Okay, it's weird. But no, you give him a show on HBO, he just loses his mind.
Like, he's like, hold my
wait,
beer.
Wait, what channel am I on? HBO?
Just wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Going to be a lot more than nudity, folks, let me tell you.
Yeah. I get to say freedom. Yeah. Crazy.
It's not letting me block this person, but okay.
Yeah, I have that on my show. Like, you got these spammers on here trying to get 5 minutes of fame.
I've been blocking them left and right. But this one, it seems like I think I know why, though. I already blocked this person just now, so that's why it's still inside the chat, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did it twice.
Mm, yeah.
But anyways.
You got your 5 minutes.
No one's going to go to your fake website anyways.
Yeah.
I know that we're talking about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Strips without clothing.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, you talking about sex? Okay, here you go.
Here you go, little wet emojis, googly face, you know?
Art.
That's kind of terrifying, like stripping without clothing. So they're already naked, but they're going to strip. Yeah. So like Hellraiser stuff, they start taking off their skin.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? They're butterflies.
They're butterflies.
That's what they are.
Yeah, butterflies commenting.
Yeah.
Hello, butterflies.
Hello, butterflies. We'll put you in glass jars.
Stripping without clothing.
That sounds like a bad YouTube channel.
Welcome to stripping with clothing.
Anywho, is there any other final thoughts on the show?
I love this show so much. It makes me happy.
I love this show so much. I sound like I'm at a bar with my drawing. I love the show so much.
I can't wait for next week.
I love it so much. I love the show so much.
I do too. Like I said, I never knew I needed this show to see John Cena in his underwear until I watched the first three episodes. So I do appreciate that.
That's what I want to talk about. I know I said he's a piece of art and we have to admire it. Yeah. But also, he has so many muscles in like every part of his body, it does make me a little uncomfortable. Like he just all this stuff like right here on the side and the bang and his trapezes or his trapezoids. That's what I like to call them. I know it's wrong. And I was just like, it's just so much. How do you even work out all those muscles? I mean, rich probably helps, like having a private chef maybe and all that. But
yeah.
God, it's just too much muscle almost. Almost too much.
Yeah. Like him, The Rock, and Batista, they're all still fit. Even though they're trying to, you know, escape from the plantation that is WWE.
The plantation. WWE.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of true.
They're trying to escape Vince, you know, because they don't want to be old wrestlers that can't walk. They're trying to like get into movies, but they still have to come on WWE from time to time, so they got to keep in shape still, you know, because Vince still got a vial of their blood in his office, and he was like, "I will use this as a blood sacrifice to, like, I don't know, kill your family." So you must be a wrestler.
Damn, that went dark. In a while. That's not like a comic book version.
He is a super villain. Come on.
That's true. That is very true. He is. He
doesn't just play one on TV.
That's true. But, you know, I want to just say one more thing before we wrap up, though, too.
Okay.
Is the scene where John Cena is going from balcony to balcony trying to escape, and he also has the CDs, the stuff like the old rock ballads, and his and plus his underwear. I'm like, what the heck?
That's painful, and you can hear every bone crack. You're like, ooh, ouch, dang.
I like the fact it was realistic, though. I'm glad that they didn't make it into where he's like a superhero where it didn't even phase him.
He just kept jumping. I don't know why. There's so many other options, probably. Probably not, but... I was dying. He just, and the scene just kept going. It's like, oh no, we still got 10 more jumps.
Watch John Cena jump off some roofs.
Yeah,
that's the whole episode.
And again, he takes a lot of bumps and bruises in the ring. So I was like,
he got it.
Right. Another day at the office.
Man, this has been great. We need to do this again next week.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I'm actually booked up all next week.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, sorry, I bet. Well, I got the Cobra Kai after show I'm doing, and then I also have the Ozark after show I'm doing.
Busy.
So, all except on my birthday on the 27th. So,
You want to take the day off?
No. Yep.
Okay, good.
Excellent.
Celebrate.
Yes. And then go to bed at 9 o'clock. Because I can only party hard until 9. So yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I'm partying all night until 9 o'clock.
Yeah. One drink for you. One drink.
Yep.
That's a hard drink. And then
one hard drink. Knock you out, wake you up, go to work.
Exactly. Well, with that being said, Tamika, where can everybody follow you at?
Anyway.
All right, here I go. So you can
find me. Damn, she snapped out of that real fast.
Two Blurred Girls, BLERD, Blurred, which I had to tell people what it means. It's Black Nerds. But yeah, Two Blurred Girls. We're on YouTube, so you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Actually, right now, we are doing Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. So we're reviewing all the episodes we can to March, because we cannot do them all, or else that'll be our whole season. But it's like 64 episodes, so we're going to do our best. So be sure to check us out every Friday. That's what we're doing. And it's at 9:15 p.m. You can, you know, blow up our comments. And also we are on Facebook. We're on Twitter and Twitch. We're not doing games right now on Twitch, but we'll think of something. We just kind of make it up as we go. We also have an audio podcast. It's on Apple. We're on Google. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify, Amazon Music, and many more, because that's how I cut my promo short. Hopefully Tamara won't kill me.
I don't think she will. I think she'll forgive you.
I'm gonna find you right now.
Yay! Follow on the show and blow up our chat anytime. Go. Yeah,
go on ahead.
Oh, it's my turn. She's like, go. I thought I was being kicked out. I'm like, oh.
No.
Thanks for following me, punk. No, get out.
I got my follower. Get out, you peasant. Oh,
my goodness. Unsubscribe. She yelled at me.
No.
No, 17. No, no. I got you. I got you.
Okay.
So you guys can also follow me at A-Town Reviews on YouTube. I do movie and TV reviews on there, so subscribe. I'm usually on twice a week, trying to push it up to three, depending on the schedule. I work on, usually try to get it out at 10 o'clock Pacific time. I'm a West Coast boy, shaka bra. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at A-TownAlex3. I don't know. That's the username I went with. I was young. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you guys there. Hit me up on there. Let's chat it up.
Cool.
All right. Yep. Tamika and Tamara will both follow you.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
I got you guys.
Let's see here. A little bit of housekeeping before I leave. Like I mentioned before, the 24th Cobra Kai after show, this is for season 4. We're doing, Tamika will be on here with me with that.
Yeah, again.
8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. You don't want to miss that. Then on the 25th, I'll be joined by Scene Invaders, and we're going to be doing a Ozark review for the new season. That's once again, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Then on the 26th, I have another show that I am doing, but I have to make sure that that person's online. So TBA right now. Then of course on the 27th I'm off, and then 28th I'm available. So that's everything that I have going on as of right now that's going on with the channel and everything. But thanks again, Tamika. Thank you, Alex, as always. I do have a special announcement to make in a couple of, not next week, but the following week, and everything revolving the channel and adding somebody to it. And that's going to be a little bit of a mystery guess of who it's going to be and everything. So I can't wait to make the announcement. So, yeah, I'm excited because this person is just really outstanding on the stuff that he brings and this person brings and everything. So I'm excited to see what he can bring to the channel and also, you know, live it up a little bit and stuff like that, too. So anyways, if you guys want to go on in and love face at XYZ online.
Strips without clothing.
Okay, my
flesh. No, I want you stripping the clothing.
You want a piece of my flesh? Yeah.
But this is what you guys can do. Go ahead and follow me underneath Movie Lovers TV Lover Tonight on Facebook, underneath the same name on Instagram and on Pinterest as well. If you want to get an audio-only podcast episode, you can get that where you guys get your major podcast from. Of course, I actually teamed up with Two Blur Girls Podcast to do a charity event with St. Jude's Children's Hospital with Tamara, and all proceeds go over to the Children of St. Jude's Hospital. Our fundraiser goes all the way up until the end of the month. So hurry up, get yourself a Cincy, spend $5 to $10. All proceeds go over to the Children of St. Jude's Hospital. If you also want to feel generous and if you want to donate to us, you don't have to, but if you choose to do so, all you have to do is go to gofundme.com/movielovers podcast. But just simply clicking on the like button and sharing this video with everybody, and also to commenting in the live chats or in the comments below, also helps me out a lot as well. And then also to smashing that little button on the right, bottom right hand corner to allow you guys to know when we have something new, which is that little bell on the bottom. So smash that bell. Then another thing that you guys need to go on ahead and do, if you guys want to go on ahead and follow me underneath Movie Lovers Unit Zero on TikTok and Movie Lovers Unit on Twitter. And then if you're a sponsor or like to be on the show, just go on ahead, email me at movieloversunite@gmail.com. Also, too, go to Good Pods. Good Pods is a great place if you're a content creator who loves doing podcasting, or if you're somebody that likes listening to podcasts. You can rate individual episodes that we do here at Movie Lovers Unite. You can also talk to us. We'll reply back to you and everything. And also, too, Tamika's on Good Pods as well. So go ahead, follow her on Good Pods and everything. And comment, like, do all that other good stuff and everything. It's like social media for podcasting. So go on ahead, do that. And also, too, you can also rate us on Apple Podcasts now and also on Spotify as well. So that's going to be it as far as our show goes. Thank you again, guys. This has been a blast as always. I'm going to be honest with you. This is I'm not going to say that this is the funnest that I ever had, but this is like, this is a great start to 2022 is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got to keep this show going. We got to do more Peacemaker episodes.
Definitely, we will. We definitely will. We might actually do two episode reviews for Peacemaker and do it that way, since I'm booked up for this week.
Oh boy.
And then do so we can do it that way if you want, because then if that, just finish it off with the last episode and that's it.
Works with me.
Cool.
All right. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for the show. It's been real. It's been fun. And good night.
Good night.